What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Fightful Select retro review of the 2019 Royal Rumble. My name is Rob Wilkins, and joining me today is Caden. Caden, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I am currently in my planning for Royal Rumble weekend 2024 in just a few days, so I'm ready to be there. I'm ready to talk about some other past Royal Rumbles, especially one that I attended.
Very nice. So you were at the 2019 Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I had put out a tweet that kind of said the Royal Rumble 2019 was a lot of firsts for me. It was my first ever in-person Rumble. That weekend was my first time, I believe, ever traveling to a WWE or wrestling event that wasn't like within my vicinity. I actually had to get on a plane and go, and my first ever takeover was the night before.
Very cool. That's awesome. I have yet to go to a Royal Rumble. That is a dream for me. I actually would prefer to go to a Royal Rumble before going to a WrestleMania, but whatever happens first, I'm okay with. But yeah, you know, this is a very exciting pay-per-view, and that happened in none other than Phoenix, Arizona at Chase Field on January 27th, 2019. There was a reported attendance of 48,193. We know how WWE likes to operate with their attendance. According to Dave Meltzer, it was right around 41,000. So there's that. Some random trivia for you, or random stats. The first time the city of Phoenix ever hosted a pay-per-view was WCW's Wrestle War 1991 War Games. The event occurred on February 24th, 1991 at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The main event featured the Four Horsemen, Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Sid Vicious, and Larry Zbyszko with Arn Anderson. Larry Zbyszko was not a horseman, but he was there with their team. And they took on Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiner Brothers. They defeated Sting's team. This was the first pay-per-view after WCW left the NWA. So that was pretty interesting. There are two active wrestlers that were on that card, Sting and Dustin Rhodes. There's two active announcers that called the event, Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross, and numerous WWE Hall of Famers, of course. This was the first WWE pay-per-view to ever occur in Phoenix was SummerSlam 2003. The main event was a Elimination Chamber match with Triple H defeating Goldberg, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, and Kevin Nash for the World Heavyweight title. Now, 20 miles down the road, WrestleMania 26 took place in Glendale, Arizona. So there's some random stats, and you had a stat for me too. So if you want to share that.
Yeah, so I was remembering when I was watching the Men's Rumble, I remembered that a certain Dean Ambrose, now known as Jon Moxley, a former or now a two-time AEW World Champion, he was officially announced to be leaving WWE 2 days after the Rumble. The Rumble took place January 27th. WWE put out a statement on January 29th, 2019, stating that Dean Ambrose would not be renewing his contract when it expired in April, which we all know what happened in the 5 years since.
Yeah, man, it's interesting. That was the first time WWE made such a big announcement of somebody leaving. I remember, of course, being in the wrestling media, we're kind of like, they're working us, you know, there's this and that, but there was a little bit of like, I'd say, but is he? Cause they kind of screwed him. Like if you look at what he's doing on TV, and then we know he wasn't happy with what Vince made him say, with Roman, when Roman was out with his battle of leukemia, stuff like that, and just awful writing for Dean Ambrose, aka Jon Moxley. So very interesting timeline there. And like you said, we know what he's done in the past 5 years. So a couple of months from that date, January 27th, it was almost 4 months from that day, almost, if not that day. So in Las Vegas. So very interesting. So the English commentators for the Royal Rumble were none other than Michael Cole, Corey Graves, Renee Young, Tom Phillips covered the SmackDown Women's Royal match, Royal Rumble match. Byron Saxton took part of the SmackDown matches. Vic Joseph called the 205 Live along with Nigel McGuinness and Aiden English. Jerry Lawler did the men's Royal Rumble match along with John Bradshaw Layfield. And then you're on the women's side, Beth Phoenix called the Royal Rumble match on the women's side. The Spanish commentators were Carlos Cabrera and Marcelo Rodriguez. The ring announcers, Greg Hamilton, did SmackDown 205 Live and the men's Royal Rumble match. Mike Rome did the Raw matches and the women's Royal Rumble match. There were 9 different referees, with the leader being Mike Chioda. The interviewers, Charlie Caruso and Caleb Braxton. The pre-show panel took place with Jonathan Coachman, Beth Phoenix, Booker T, Jerry Lawler, David Otunga, and Shawn Michaels. So, pretty big, like, that's when WWE was going all out with putting people on TV. You know, that was, I mean, they don't do the pre-shows like that anymore, where they have so many different people. I mean, they use about 5, and then, I guess they do kind of use a lot of people. It just didn't seem, when I'm looking at this, it just seemed like a overabundance. I guess on commentary, that's where it's very different now, because you have Mike Cole and Corey Graves calling it and now, and then you have usually Caleb Braxton and others backstage. So, but let's get into the event. There were 3 kickoff matches. Now, before I go on with the kickoff matches, that's something we don't see in WWE as much anymore. Do you miss the kickoff matches?
Yeah. I do. Yeah, too. The kickoff matches definitely were something that it helps get some people on the card. And if you're going to do an hour of a pre-show, I don't know why you just don't throw at least something there. It's a good way to get the crowd warmed up, especially if you get there really early. And there's just, I don't see a benefit in not doing them. I've always said that about, like, AEW has had a few times where they do like the hour long pre-show and they tell everybody show starts at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. because pay-per-views are 8 p.m. Eastern. But like, if you're in New York, you're at World's End, they say get in your seat by 7 p.m. That's the time this card is starting. But nothing really starts until 8. And there's been times where they do 4 matches, they do 3, but then there's also been times they do 1. And I'm like, if you're going to tell people to get there by that time, give them at least something.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, something I skipped on, there were 3 things that I was going to talk about before we went into the matches. This was the poster for Wrestle War 91. Yeah. I put this up because Sid Vicious, and we know Jeremy Lambert's a Sid guy, so I wanted to post that. Now, I know I believe, if I remember correctly, you are a comic book guy kind of like me. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, something interesting about this pay-per-view is the artist Joe Jusko did the Royal Rumble art that you see here. It was basically what he did in the Royal Rumble in 91, which is this very famous one that you see all the time. I mean, it's one of the most... When you went to the video store, like, I know I'm a little bit older than you, obviously, but when I went to the video store, this is the cover that I always saw, you know, it was, and this is what got me to rent the tape when I wasn't watching wrestling that much back when I was a kid, this artwork. So it was pretty cool that they had Joe Jusko redo that during that time. I mean, this one, you look at this and there's 3 people that are in AEW on here. And one person is no longer with the company. The other 3 still are, or 4 still are. So just really cool to see. I love comic books and I love comic book art. So I just thought that was cool. And Joe Jusko's a hell of an artist. So I wanted to give him his due. Yeah. Now, speaking, before I go further, did you ever get into the WWE Boom Studios comics?
No, I did not.
No. I picked up a lot of I picked them up because of the covers more than anything, but I never read them. So I wanted to read them, but I just like the covers so much and stuff like that. So the first match was none other than Bobby Roode and Chad Gable taking on Rezar and Scott Dawson. Now, the reason those two teamed up was because whoever, if they won that match, if Scott Dawson and Rezar won that match, they would get a tag team opportunity for their team. But that did not work out, as Bobby Roode and Chad Gable got the victory. Did anything stand out in this match for you? It was a quick match. It was only 6 minutes.
The only thought I had, I had two thoughts. One was, damn, I miss Bobby Roode's entrance. And then the second one was, I texted some people a picture of that match. And I said, when were Dax Harwood and Rezar a tag team with Drake Maverick? I did not remember. And I was at this show. I did not remember them ever being. I thought this match was against FTR. That's what I thought it was. I did not remember AOP being involved in this at all.
Yeah. Like I said, it was for like the winning team would get a title shot at Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. And yeah, with AOP was managed by Drake Maverick at that time. And it was when I went back and watched it, that's when I remembered what it was. And I was like, man, that's very interesting of a looking back on it now. A very intriguing matchup. I couldn't find a graphic for that match, so I'm kind of wondering if that was just kind of thrown in there like the last couple of days. I can't remember that far back. So I wasn't able to find a graphic. But the next match after that was none other than Shinsuke Nakamura challenging Rusev for the WWE United States Championship. Two of my favorites going on in this match. Shinsuke is great. Obviously, we know that. Rusev is Miro now in AEW. When they put him on TV, he's awesome. It seems like it's a who knows type thing with him. You know, it fluctuates with Miro. He's a great wrestler, and he's somebody that I just love to watch. I've always been a big Miro guy. I mean, even when he was not on WWE's roster, that's kind of how me and Sean Rossat became friends, because I was sitting every week. That was my question on his Q&As. And that's how we kind of became friends over time. And I was like, hey, I'll be a YouTube moderator for the channel. And then I started moderating Facebook. And then I wanted to write my own articles and then apply for the Fightful live recap of AW Dark, which was an awful, awful show to do writing live recaps. My God. But anyways, I'm a huge Miro guy. He's somebody that I know a lot of people are like, he's somebody I definitely want to go back. I want to go back to WWE. I think he would have a better career. What are your thoughts on Miro?
Look, Miro can't, I just don't think Miro can do a lot in AEW if he's not going to take a pin. Like you're so limited in your like booking capabilities with somebody like that. Not like he's fine. Not my favorite, especially in the, like just what he's done since he returned. I really liked his original run, especially the run as the Redeemer back in 2021. But I think just anything he's done since that, since he went out at Full Gear 2021 after the Danielson match, besides the Hobbs match, it hasn't been for me.
Yeah. Do you think, and this is reckless speculation, do you think he's like that so he can get out of his contract maybe?
No, I think he's just big shotting.
Okay.
I think wrestlers just have egos.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely true. I'm just a big fan of his. So I was kind of wondering if like that was the case. Cause you just never know. And, I'm a big fan of his. So, Shinsuke, defeated Rusev to win the United States Championship, I believe. Yeah, he did. He pinned him. This match went on for 10 minutes and 12 seconds. Dave Meltzer gave this match a 2.75 star rating. We all know the ratings is from a different standpoint. Like, that's what he feels. So I always put the stars in the matches for these because I know some people like might go back and watch it if it hits a certain scale. So that's why I always put it out there. Shinsuke Nakamura, he's great. He's still great. He's one of my favorites. He's somebody that he's one of the only few who've won a Royal Rumble and did not win the title at WrestleMania. This was not that year, obviously, but Shinsuke Nakamura is somebody I've been watching for years, like since Wrestle King, like the early Wrestle Kingdoms. I'm just a big fan of his. You have any particular Shinsuke Nakamura matches that stand out to you?
I have not been able to go through Shinsuke's run in New Japan yet. That's one of the things, like Shinsuke and AJ's runs are two things I want to go through once New Japan gets their app fixed, because it's kind of a mess right now. They're missing so much content. But I do want to go through that. I didn't like the AJ stuff. Just in terms of main roster, just like that. Yeah, you had this stuff with AJ that should have probably hit more than it did. I don't know. The Seth stuff was fine this year. Nothing in particular I can think of for Shin, okay. Unfortunately. On the main roster, fine. At least. Like, I just, it's Shin. He's fine. Yeah.
And the match previously with the Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, that was a two-star, just so people know that. The third match of the pre-show was actually the highest-rated match of the card, and that featured Buddy Murphy taking on Akira Tozawa, Hideo Itami, Kalisto, in a fatal four-way match for the WWE Cruiserweight title. This match was badass. 12 minutes, 5 seconds, 4 stars. This Buddy Murphy, we get to see him on AEW a lot more than we got to see him in WWE, which is, thank you, Tony Khan, for that. Akira Tozawa is still in the WWE. He's kind of like a comedy wrestler now. You know, he's doing that shtick, which people don't know. A lot of people don't know about his past wrestling. Like, the guy was good, and he's still good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to talk in past tense. But we haven't got to see that Akira Tozawa. Like, he, when he was with Dragon Gate, he put on some great matches. So he's somebody that I would love to see kind of get that fire back and let him go on a run of sorts. I don't see that happening, and I think he's okay with that. You know, I think it is what it is. But this match was just badass. What stood out for you in this one, and how was the crowd reaction?
The crowd reaction started, from what I remember, it started a little slow, and then like you start hitting those spots and people start kind of getting into it. That's how a lot of the cruiserweight matches were, because they kind of owned the pre-show for a good 12 to 18 months in WWE when Buddy was champion, when Pac was champion, whatever, they were killing it. Or Cedric Alexander also in his title run that Buddy ended. Look, Kenta doesn't really cook anymore, unfortunately, but when he does cook, it's pretty awesome. So it was good to see Hideo Itami, Kenta doing some good stuff. Akira Tozawa, look how they massacred my boy.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Yeah, just a great match. 12, like I said, 12 minutes, 5 seconds. It was the match of the night, like as far as Dave Meltzer's rating. I would give it, I always like the Royal Rumble, so those always get like ahead. Like, for if I was to do my stars, I just enjoyed the Royal Rumbles, but that was definitely the best match on the entire card, as far as singles or tag teams go. The match that opened the show was Asuka defending her WWE SmackDown Women's title against Mrs. Becky Lynch. This match got a 3.75 star rating from Dave Meltzer. I was very surprised in a way to see Becky lose this match, because I figured that she might go into WrestleMania with the title, because I knew she wasn't in the Royal Rumble. Well, we'll get into that later. But this match was still pretty good. As far as like Asuka goes, she's still on a tear right now. She's fantastic. One of the best wrestlers WWE's ever had, like, in my opinion. Becky Lynch is obviously one of the GOATs, in my opinion, for WWE. What did you think of this match? And are there any matches that stick out, like with Becky Lynch or Asuka, in your idea, or basically from your vantage point?
Yeah, this is one of the better women's matches, especially on a pay-per-view. I feel like we get a lot of good, we get some good stuff out of the women a lot of the times, like Charlotte and Rhea is like one that always comes into my head over the last year at WrestleMania. this was them two getting a lot of time, getting put in a good spot where they were able to get heat on their match. Opening matches can usually get a decent amount of heat in it. They were coming right off of that really good TLC match. And right before that was when Becky had the match against Charlotte at Evolution in October. So I think everything just set up very nicely for these two to go out there, and they were allowed to have their type of match that they need to do. No real handcuffs there. I liked the finish. I liked what they did. I liked how they set up everything very well. Parts of it felt pretty, like, I think it was the thing I kept thinking was, this feels like a Joshi match at certain points. Not fully, but I think it's the best you're going to get for Becky Lynch, at least, working a Joshi style. So overall, it was great. I think it's probably one of Becky's top five matches in WWE.
Okay.
Cool. Asuka just has so many great ones, so I don't know where it ranks for her. Yeah, for sure. Becky, for sure.
The next match was Shane McMahon and The Miz taking on Cesaro and Sheamus.
Christ.
Yeah. So this match actually got a pretty decent rating from Dave. He gave it 3.25 stars.
He was way too nice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't remember that even being close to that. And I remember this match. I don't get the shake fist, like, how dare you type thing often. This is how I felt about that. I was like, there's no damn way they just did that. I would have understood if maybe Cesaro and Sheamus were going to a title picture like singles reign, but that wasn't the case. So what was your reaction to that? And what do you think of the match? Cause like you said, Dave was very nice on that rating. I'm not so nice on it.
So this story, when it started at Crown Jewel 2018 in the World Cup tournament, I was still fairly new to wrestling. I had just crossed a year watching, did not know about Indies or New Japan. I was actually starting to learn what New Japan was because AEW started a few weeks before this. So I was learning, but I didn't know. And I was upset with Roman's story and how they treated him when he didn't win at 34. And because it was stupid. But this was probably the first story where I went, maybe I need to start finding an alternative. Because this pissed me off. Shane winning the World Cup for whatever reason. And then going on to win the tag titles. And then doing a face Miz for the TV show. And then doing this and this. And Shane winning at Mania. And then they kept dragging it on. It was all terrible. This match is bad. It's a bad match. I don't know how Dave can give it anything higher than like a 2.
But like I said, it's all from his vantage point. So, or vision point, I guess you'd say. And it is what it is on that. The sixth match of this show was Ronda Rousey, who defeated Sasha Banks in 13 minutes and 48 seconds for the Raw Women's title. Dave gave this match 3.75 stars. I was okay with this match. It was pretty solid. I thought it was good. Sasha Banks can make anybody look good in a ring, and that's what she did here. We don't know where Mercedes Moné is going to be headed. Fightful Select is reporting AEW, and that's when Sean says something, I go with it because look at his record. So that's where she's probably going to end up, but she's really good at keeping her cards to, you know, keeping her cards hidden. So, A, what was your thought on this match? B, do you think Mercedes goes to AEW? And are there any Ronda Rousey matches that stand out for you? And because I know if I ask you about Sasha, you could go on and on. I mean, my favorite memory is the Bianca Belair match at WrestleMania when she lost, and you just see her smiling because of Bianca. This woman loves wrestling so much. That's what I like about Sasha Mercedes so much, is how much she loves this business. So let's get your thoughts on this.
So Ronda is not a great wrestler. Sasha or Mercedes Moné is. And I think Ronda's always done the best when she's in there with people who she gets along with. And I think she gets along with her. I think she gets along with Charlotte. I think she gets along with Natalya. I know she gets along with Natalya. They're really close friends. And this was Ronda's, not, I don't think it was her first great match in WWE, because the Charlotte one at Survivor Series was very good as well. But this was this might be a little bit better. I thought they did a really good job, and the time they were allotted was a little bit under 14 minutes. And everything flowed very well. I remember thinking at the time, there's a bit of sloppiness in this match that I actually believe helps it and adds a sense of realism, which Ronda matches just need to fit a little better. I think they elevate because of her style. There are certain wrestlers who some sloppiness and moves just help, and they make it feel more like a fight. And that's when I think Ronda does her best. The only other matches I can think of that, like I mentioned, the Charlotte match at Survivor Series. I don't hate the Charlotte match at Mania. It's not great. I prefer the rematch at Backlash. And also the match at Money in the Bank against Natalya was another match I actually really enjoy. And a lot of people really dislike that match. And I'm a big fan of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's.
Oh, and did you ask about where Mercedes is going?
Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I think she debuts in New Orleans next week.
Okay.
In AEW. Yeah, I think they'll wait. My theory, at least, is they could debut her in Bossier City on Saturday and wait until the Women's Rumbles. You hope that they open with the Women's Rumble, and that's 8 p.m., goes until around 9:15. It ends. You debut Mercedes at 9:45, 10 p.m. You try to get people onto your show, and you debut her. I think that's a bad idea. I let people be disappointed in not having Mercedes, because I don't debut her before the Women's Rumble starts, no matter what. So I skip Saturday. You let people be upset Saturday night. Oh, we didn't get Sasha Banks in the Rumble. You let Sunday go by. You let Monday go by. Monday night during WWE Raw, 8:30, 8:45 p.m. You tweet AEW Dynamite. Here comes the money, or bank statement, or the rise of the CEO, whatever. You give a hat, you give a name, you give a tagline to that Dynamite show in New Orleans, and you debut her Wednesday.
Yeah, I think just a teaser would be good. Like, just maybe like a stack of hundreds or something, like just something like that. And that way you know,
AEW Dynamite money time.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So we'll have to see where they go with this. But we go on to the next match, which was the women's Royal Rumble match. Becky Lynch won the Rumble after filling in for Lana, a.k.a. CJ Perry, now known in AEW. In this Royal Rumble, you had Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, Bayley, Billie Kay, Candice LeRae, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, Dana Brooke, Ember Moon, Io Shirai, Casey Catanzaro, Kairi Sane, Lacey Evans, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose, Maria Kanellis, Mickie James, Naomi, Natalya, Nia Jax, Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, Rhea Ripley, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Sonya Deville, Tamina, Xia Li, and Zelina Vega. So, this was the first time that we got to see Candice LeRae in the Royal Rumble. It was also the first time that we got to see, I believe, Io in the Royal Rumble. Yep. Kairi Sane too, I want to say.
No, she was in the 2018 Rumble.
Okay, yeah. Good. So, yeah, you know, watching this, it was a good Rumble. It got 3.25 star from Dave. Anything stick out in this Rumble? I mean, when Becky came out, that's when I knew she was obviously going to win. Because at first, I had no idea who was going to win this match. It, you know, when she came out, I don't remember what entry she was, but it was towards the obviously end of the show or end of the match. So, but so overall,
she was technically 30, but okay, Lana was 28.
Okay. That's right. And she kind of, Lana was like, my ankle or whatever. And then, so there you go.
She got injured during the pre-show match with Rusev and Shin, and they did the ankle injury. Nia comes out at 28, beats her down a little bit more to make it worse. Carmella comes out at 30 because her and Truth had won the mixed match challenge, and the winners of the mixed match challenge got the 30th entrant into the Royal Rumble and a vacation, and entered. And then Becky came out, argued with Fit Finlay, and then Fit Finlay let her in, and that was the 30th entrant. I thought this Rumble was fairly bad. I think it's the worst women's Rumble. I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this match at all. I found it to be very... I have similar issues with the men's Rumble. First off, this was a 74-minute women's Royal Rumble. It was about 10 minutes... No. It was... Yeah, so it's listed at 72 minutes. The men's was listed at 57. It was 14 minutes longer than the men's. Or 15 minutes longer than the men's, which I don't know why any Rumble needs to be that much longer than the other one. Just was long for no reason.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily care for Lacey starting, and this also led to Lacey's awful run in 2019, which was like the downfall of WWE television for 3 months, because it led to the Corbin feud and then Seth, and so many things happened because of this Rumble match. It led to a lot of things that were really bad. I try to remember, like, I didn't think they did a great job with most of the NXT women besides Ember getting to go really far, now known as Athena in Ring of Honor. Kyrie didn't get to do a lot, neither did Io. They had the Riot Squad be this like dominating heel force, very reminiscent of the League of Nations in the 2016 Royal Rumble, a group that just never really went anywhere. Rhea Ripley had a good spot, but they didn't capitalize on her for another year, so I don't know why they even went with her in that spot. The big one I remember thinking, why is Xia Li in this match? She had like just been there for 2 months in the PC and they put her in, and it still does not make sense to me why they put her in over, at that time, was like Mia Yim was there, Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair. They had a very talented women's division in early 2019, and they put Xia Li and Casey Catanzaro in this match, both of whom were very green. I don't know, Nia. I didn't like the ending with Nia taking out Becky, because you could have just gotten a really nice little 5-minute Charlotte Flair Rhea match a la Gunther and Cody Rhodes from last year. And instead, it was just Becky on one leg hobbling, and it led to also a very bad WrestleMania story. Like, this match, has so many, it sets up so many things that just were bad. And I think that's why I despise it so much.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty good, but I think I was more excited about the people that were in it, that were new, and I think that's what did it for me.
But, yeah.
I think it's
also the only women's Rumble that does not rely on legends. I think this was the year they went away from the legends, and then they immediately went back.
Yeah. And Becky ended up winning that match. So,
yeah.
The next match on the card was none other than two of my favorite wrestlers. None other than Daniel Bryan defending his WWE World title against AJ Styles. This match could have been so much better than it was. It was not very good.
This was disappointing.
Yeah, Dave gave it 2¾ star. I think... from disappointment level, I would give it 1 star because I was very disappointed. But as far as the match goes, I'd probably give it a 3. I mean, that's just my rating. And
yeah,
when you have those two guys in the ring in WWE, there were so many people excited about this match. You know, I remember people talking, obviously, I mean, it's a no-brainer that you would think that would be the match of the night. I mean, it's just easy to like look at it and say, yep, that's going to be the match of the night. I think everybody and their mother would have picked that, but it didn't go that way. They only got, they did get a lot of time. They got 24 minutes and 31 seconds for a singles match, which is good. It just wasn't there for me and a lot of people. What stood out for you in this match?
I compare this match to All Out 2022's Chris Jericho versus Bryan Danielson match. A match that inherently I don't necessarily think is bad. I think it's very technically sound and it hits what you kind of need to for the story. But there are key issues revolving around a lack of heat and not every piece gelling together the way it needs to. A little bit too long, not so satisfying ending with Eric Rowan for some reason with Bryan Danielson, which I still don't understand. I remember everybody in the crowd saying, why the fuck is Eric? Oh, can I curse? I don't know if I can say
that. Oh, yeah. Have you been on Fightful before? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you guys. Joel Pearl was upset for saying the hook. What the fuck? Or go fuck yourself. Hook's joke. Go fuck yourself. This was me. You know what? I had Hook's reaction. If anybody watched In the Weeds last week, you saw the greatest bit ever. That what's Hook's reactions is when Eric Rowan came out to ruin this match with a goddamn ref bump. My reaction was, go fuck yourself.
All right.
It was stupid. Okey-dokey. So dumb.
All right. So there's that. The match just wasn't great. Yeah, that's disappointing.
It was not.
Yeah. The next match, WWE Universal title, Brock Lesnar defending his title against Mr. Finn Balor. This match went on for 8 minutes and 36 seconds. Dave gave this 3 3/4 star. I think everybody knew that Brock was going to win this match. I just did not see Finn going into WrestleMania with this title. Anything stand out for you in this match?
Yeah, this match fucking ruled. This was fantastic. Finn Balor is one of my favorite wrestlers. And he was my first person I stand in pro wrestling. And I thought that what he did with Brock here, you know, Brock likes someone when he sells like crazy for you. And Brock sold like crazy in this match. It was it was an 8 minute, like, just, it's what you want out of a great Brock Lesnar match. Everything worked here. It was an epic. And I don't know if it's, my camera is going to actually like this, but this was my response. Oh, it's not going to do it. It's fine. Yeah. It just says, ladies and gentlemen, no graps.
And, you know, funny thing is, before this show started, you actually told me that the first wrestler you ever stand was James Ellsworth. So what changed?
You know, I found someone who had a chin.
Oh, well, too soon. All right. So that match was great. Love it. Very good match. Brock Lesnar's awesome. Yeah.
It's the best. You know, like, a good comparison to this is it's similar to Hook versus Samoa Joe.
All right.
It's very similar, right? Like,
okay. Yeah,
not fully in terms of like, hope. Yeah, you have that hope, and it's this beast taking on somebody who's a little smaller, and you don't expect them to win whatsoever. You don't think that they're gonna win, but you have the table spot in there. You have some outside spots going on. You have Brock beating the piss out of him, and you think that he's done. And then Finn comes back and gets it, and he almost gets the win. And then Brock locks in that Kimura, which is very similar to Joe locking in the Kikina Clutch. It's an eerily similar match. Just if you take it, like, I think Hook and Samoa Joe is just like taking it a little further because they have the Muscle Buster kick out at one, whereas this doesn't fully have that, but it's a very similar match.
Sure. Yeah, very good match. And the last match on the card was the men's Royal Rumble match. As you can see, Seth is pointing to the effing sign. Seth Rollins won this Royal Rumble, and he defeated the other competitors. The other 29 competitors were Aleister Black, Andrade, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, Big E, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, Kurt Hawkins, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Elias, Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett, Jinder Mahal, Johnny Gargano, Kofi Kingston, Kurt Angle, Mustafa Ali, Nia Jax, No Way Jose, Pete Dunne, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, Shelton Benjamin, Shinsuke Nakamura, Titus O'Neil, and Xavier Woods. And Dave gave this match 3 1/4 star. This match went on for 57 minutes and 23 seconds. Again, like we talked about earlier, the Women's Royal Rumble went on an additional 15 minutes. this was a, I thought, a decent Royal Rumble. I can't remember now, thinking back on it. I don't think I had Seth winning. I think I had somebody else winning, but I don't honestly remember that far back on it. But as I showed, Seth Rollins got the victory here. He pointing to the sign, he's saying, "Hey, there's my, I'm going to WrestleMania. I'm gonna try to win the title." He pointed to the sign, which makes it official. When you point to that sign, that means you're going to WrestleMania. If you don't point to that sign, it's not like, it's kind of like a contract. You're not going if you don't point to the damn sign. So that's, if for people who think I'm serious there, I'm not. I'm totally kidding there. So, but this match was, it is what it is. Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is always my favorite event of the year. Like favorite, I would say favorite gimmick match. I think it's pretty much everybody's favorite gimmick match. I mean, there's some people that prefer War Games, which I completely understand. But for a WWE gimmick match, it, for me, it comes down to this, then probably Money in the Bank, and then Hell in a Cell. And then I would probably say after that, then War Games for me. But what stood out in this match for you?
A lot of things. First, I immediately noticed there are 13 wrestlers in this match who are no longer with the company. This does include Andrade. So just point to say, if you don't include Andrade, it's 12. But still, that's a lot of people. Two AEW World Champions. One of them is the current AEW World Champion in Samoa Joe. I also did check. I wanted to go back in time and see kind of like what the betting odds were to see what people were expecting to win this match. For some reason, at number seven was Kenny Omega at tied odds with The Miz and The Rock.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that was the thing. I remember that he was. He was a free agent, wasn't he? But didn't they just announce?
No, they.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They had AEW announce him by this point.
Yeah, I was going to say AEW. I think already had their press conference or whatever they did in Jacksonville.
Yeah. But the two favorites realistically were Rollins was a minus, the only guy who was a minus. So like everyone kind of knew Rollins was winning going in, but Braun was at second place. A lot of people also thought Braun could win. Immediately noticed they did a very similar finish to the Women's Royal Rumble where Rollins got taken out at ringside. They did a little earlier and different, but Rollins got taken out at ringside, got put through a table, and then they had Rollins get back in and win against Braun. Not the greatest closing stretch, which I think was my biggest issue. I thought that the Nia Jax part was pointless. I don't think it accomplished anything besides seeing Nia get RKO'd, and it just kind of...
That was the best part.
Makes me, I don't get the point of it. I do think having Carmella and R-Truth already be the number 30 does ruin the surprises a little bit. Yeah. And that comes back to my biggest issue with this Rumble was the lack of surprises.
Yeah.
There just wasn't any.
Yep. Just nothing that stood out. So that was Royal Rumble. Happened. Yep. That was Royal Rumble 2019. When this is coming out, will be Wednesday of January 24th. So we'll be 3 days away from the Royal Rumble 2024. I'm going to get your quick predictions on this show. We don't, we're recording this on Monday, so we do not know what the status is of Seth Rollins. So we don't know what that status is going to be. So we're just going to exclude him from any of these plans right now. However, I want to get your women's Royal Rumble winner first, and then I want to get your men's Royal Rumble winner. So give me your women's.
Bailey. Yeah, Bailey for the women's. And for the men's, I gotta stick with my guy Cody.
Okay.
Sticking with that.
This was before last Raw. I was thinking like they're going to do Becky and Rhea. Like I know they're going to do that. But when they did that promo, I'm like, well, they're setting this up for Becky not to win now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when I said, okay, we're still getting Becky versus Rhea for the title, but somebody else is going to win. And that's what I saw a lot of people say, Bayley needs to win. Bayley needs to win. So she will, Bayley will take on Io Sky at Mania, yeah, likely. So I like your opinion on that. As far as Cody goes, there's part of me that I wonder how much the Seth Rollins injury plays into WrestleMania. And I mean, we don't know like what the, there's a lot of belief that he's going to be out. So from that standpoint, if he is out, that I think might throw a wrench in WrestleMania plans as of right now.
Yeah.
So I do think Cody Rhodes wins, but it would not surprise me if CM Punk won and he just goes ahead and says he's challenging the Raw one, you know, like I could see that happening. It really depends how this promo goes tonight too, with Seth Rollins and CM Punk. So, I mean, there's a lot, like the time we're recording this, we'll know a lot more in less than 8 hours, like where we're at. So with WrestleMania potentially. Now there is Elimination Chamber, so I'm assuming the Elimination Chamber will have a match that will get somebody a title shot as well. That's just my assumption. So my next question, is The Rock involved with the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania this year?
I'm going to say for Rumble, no. And my new prediction on Mania is he is involved at Mania, but he's in the corner of the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Because I just do not see this guy wrestling a match. I could very much see, you know, he could be involved at Rumble. What I think they're going to do is Cody wins at Rumble. They're going to do something in Perth that gets Cody and because I don't think Roman's going to work that show, but they're trying to get Rock for an appearance. I could see them doing something with Cody and Rock at Elimination Chamber in Australia, where he says, I'm going to be in your corner as the other end of the head of the table. You're going to represent me as whatever, like you're going to represent me at the table because I just can't do it anymore. Something like that. That's what I'm guessing. Like that's like my prediction. And there's like 50 other options that could go. That's what I think is going to happen.
So this is what I think is going to happen. And this could change by the time that Maggie and I do our show on Friday. And by the time I do the pre-show on Saturday, I think that The Rock is involved in WrestleMania, but it's after Cody wins the title. I think he comes out and he grabs the
lay.
Yeah, thank you. He takes the lay from Roman. That's what I think will happen. Setting them up for a match at WrestleMania next year.
WrestleMania 41 and
yeah,
Minneapolis.
Yeah, hi. That's why I am being completely selfish with this, but it is what it is. Caden, tell everybody where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Caden, KADEN_FTW. And that's the only place you can find me right now because I am not doing anything else.
And guys, don't take anything I say to the bank because I am so wrong on these predictions that it's absolutely mind boggling. Don't do it. I fantasy book. So that's my problem with predictions.
I was right about Adam Copeland going to AEW. So maybe I'm getting there. Maybe I'm getting
there. Well, I mean, okay. But guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and Threads at Fightful Rob. Every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, you can join me and my co-host Maggie for Coexisting on Fightful Overbooked. And then I also do the retro review here. And then we will be bringing back Coexisting After Dark pretty soon. So that'll be another show on Fightful Select that you'll be able to watch. Want to say thank you to our Fightful Select members. Because of you, we get to do fun stuff like this. And you also get so much for your value. You get the Sean Ross app breaking news first before it goes on X or on Facebook or Instagram or wherever, Reddit, you know, you get it here first on Fightful Select. You also get the Weekender podcast. You get the list goes on. You get retro reviews, pay-per-view, pre-shows, sour graps. You get a lot, over 40 podcasts a month, just exclusively on Fightful Select. So I want to say thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. The next show that I review is up in the air. I'm planning on doing two for the month of February. So we'll see what we do. One of them will be an elimination chamber pay-per-view, or at least a match. And then the next one would be maybe something Sting related. So for AEW Revolution in March. So I want to say thank you again for tuning in. And if you watch this before the Royal Rumble, I hope you enjoy the Royal Rumble. And if you watch it afterwards, because this is evergreen content, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you ever have any questions, do us a favor, leave us a comment in Fightful Select or on this YouTube video. Let us know if there's a pay-per-view you want us to review. I'm always open to suggestions. So again, want to say thank you very much, and we will see you later.